You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on this first day of the new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, who is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. Greg, I have to say that it was one of the most nondescript, boring, flat, almost flatulent days I've ever seen in my life on the JSE. It was so, so dull.
It is really boring. I've actually got a picture which I'm going to tweet later. One of my traders, fast asleep at his desk, feet up on the other chair.
Are you going to pixelate it or are you just going to leave it as it is?
I wonder. I better just get clearance from management. But I suppose the only real excitement was the gold shares and the platinum shares had a little bit of a collapse. Gold index down 5%, but we'll get to that. But
yes.
Other than that, you're super boring. Very little news flow. I think we're waiting for the ECB later this week and the Fed next week. So a lot of people on hold, but a strength in the rand, but not too many other stories coming across the desk.
I hate it when everyone says, well, we're just waiting for this now, and then the next week we're waiting for that. Just get on with it, for goodness sake. Find a company that you like, buy the company or sell the company, and just get on with it and stop waiting for the Fed and stop waiting for tweets from Donny J.
A lot of these institutions like to tell you that when you phone up and say, don't you have anything for us to do this? We would, but we're just waiting for X, Y, and Z. And it's a great excuse for them to do nothing.
We'll be speaking to David Shapiro tomorrow on the 5 o'clock shadow. And I was talking to him earlier on Shapiro World, which you can get at strictlybusinesspodcast.com.
Incidentally,
he was talking about this is the process week. Process is it is big. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that immediately you'll lose, you know, 2-3 billion from the JSE volume every single day? Or is it not as easy as that?
Often with these things, it's, you know, the simple answer is the right answer. That would make sense. I mean, who's ever trading NASPAS now? And a huge element must be people using NASPAS as a proxy for 10 cent, because it's another way of trading it when that market's closed, and another way of getting exposure to 10 cent, because the two obviously track each other. But it's not as clean as buying 10 cent itself, because you've got the other parts, and obviously it's listed here. But there should be a certain amount of unlock. Most of our clients are taking shares in Prosper, as many as they can.
Process, to
try and prosper. And it's going to be fascinating. It's probably the biggest thing that's going to happen on the market this year.
I was saying to David, wouldn't it be a fantastic exercise if anyone's got the time and if they're bored enough, and probably over the next few weeks with no volume on the JSE, you are going to be bored enough, Greg. Use De Beers as your starting point. When did De Beers delist from the JSE Securities Exchange? How many companies have delisted from there? And you don't have to go for the rats and mice. You go for the ones that have a significant volume on the day and market capitalization, and were South African companies that were almost household names, or certainly financial services household names. I think there would be a list as long as your arm, Greg.
Look, the one which hurt the most, and I think the one which would be probably, if we could go back in time, is the SAB story.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was really disastrous, but I mean, it didn't. I don't know how they really allowed that. You know, it's almost like the number one buying the number three, and I mean, it was a massive. You know, we always speak about South African companies who went overseas and didn't do well, but here we had the exception. You know, the mighty SA Breweries, gone from our screens. I don't know. I just sort of fraud in the type 10 SAB on my keypad now, nothing came up.
You know, the analogy I use here, Greg, is I went into some Ponzi bar in Cape Town yesterday and had lots of craft beers and everything, which I applaud. I mean, people are making beers and they're making money and it's creating jobs and it's promoting a South African brand. And I said, can I have a black label, please? And they looked at me as though I was some kind of freak. And it's like going to the JSE and saying, can I buy 300 SAB shares, please? And not realizing that it's not there anymore. It's exactly the same thing. It's an old friend that's gone.
Yeah, well, maybe we are becoming grumpy old men. Maybe those millennials have got it right with all these...
No, they haven't.
...beers which are made in your bath at home and all of this.
No, they haven't got it right.
Probably not.
It's stupid. And they taste awful as well. Black Label is still the best beer. And also a Castle. I like a Castle. It's a wonderful beer.
Castle's a go-to, but a Black Label, when you're thirsty, down at the waterfront, and I think it's a 5.5%.
It's a 5.5%.
I think probably when you ask for a black label now, the people will presume you mean the Johnny Walker.
Exactly. They do say that. Do you want the whiskey or do you want the beer? I mean, hello. What
do I look like a Ponce?
Because I've got enough money for a Johnny Walker black label. Greg, let's go back to AVI. We spoke about it this morning. What was the closing price on that particular retail stocker?
Yeah, that's what always makes it fun, is we have a discussion in the morning when the results have just come out, and then again in the afternoon when the markets had time to look at it. And on a fairly flat day, had a nice outcome for them. Up 3.5%, up nearly 3 rand a share, 87 rand 46. Mm. So a solid day. I'm sure they would have taken that this morning.
I'm just still thinking about that bloke with the beard and the stupid cap that said he didn't have a black label. But Greg, Workforce Holdings Limited, we didn't know what that was this morning, but it was up 14.25% today on, looks like, thin volume. Workforce Holdings Limited.
Yeah, let's have a look. We did do some volume. We did nearly 10,000 shares. That's 16,000 rand. Closed actually up 14%.
Yes.
At 1.60 rand. Just looking. Always look at the volume weighted average price. It was fairly high, 1.67. So you can't argue with that. That's a good outcome for them.
Have you got a trellis door protecting yourself in your penthouse in Sandton?
I don't have, because I'm fortunately on the sixth floor. So if anyone can climb up there and get my TV and climb down, they're welcome to.
Bloody when the results came out and it climbed, or it didn't climb actually, it plunged 2.4%, Trellidor. That's all I can say really.
Yeah, I also don't know the code.
Okay, it was TRL.
Let's have a look.
Do TRL. Some work.
Yeah, that traded 1,000 shares today at about just after lunch. So, 4,100 rands worth. That's down 2.3%. Quite a wide double there. There's demand for 12,000 shares at 3.84 rand. Sellers for 4,800 shares at 4.10 rand. I was just watching chatting to some of the traders on the Skype group. Sort of almost the small cap market just disappeared, and I think it's gone the way of the private clients that used to go to these shareholders meetings, listen to these results, phone you up and have done their own research. Now it's all, you know, funds of funds that are going into, you know, we like to call it dumb money really, but they don't really know what they're buying. But if you're a Trellidor and you don't fit into anybody's ETF, then you've got a problem.
Bell Equipment is probably not in anyone's ETF either. It's a company that does stuff. I mean, it digs things and it makes things. But its share price hasn't even, well, it's unchanged. Maybe it has traded today, but it's 1,000, is that 100 or 1,000 rand a share, Greg?
It's 10 rand a share.
Oh, 10 rand. So I've got 1,000. Okay, fair enough.
That's so 2,000 shares, obviously trade, that's obviously 20 grand, unchanged on the day. But it did have quite a comprehensive trading update last week, and that seems to be the thing. If you reveal everything in the trading update, we just carry on from there with the full numbers.
But it's what you were saying about the small cap index being out of favor at the moment because of the sort of group investments, if you see what I mean. Everybody puts their money into one thing, and it's really a rather impersonal, I think.
We need to get old Anthony Clark on. He's a specialist in these small caps. Keith McLachlan as well. You know, they understand these businesses. They go to the presentations. They question management. And maybe have once a week a slot on small caps on the pod. Be interesting.
Yeah, well, I do speak to Anthony occasionally. He can be a little bit exhausting, so it's maybe just once a month.
He's passionate
he's
about
so,
his work.
So very good at what he does.
He really lives for the stock market, and especially these small caps, and he loves to go and stir a bit of trouble at shareholder meetings.
Yes, he does. He's not the most popular fellow in the world, but he's certainly very popular with me. Greg, I'm going to test your mettle now, as I always do. Greg's test of the day is Avior Capital Markets Holdings Limited.
Yeah, I do know a little bit about it.
Okay.
It's like a stockbroking business. Not sure why they decided to list, really. Poached one of my traders away. It all ended well because he ended up back here 6 months later. It's a continuation of the cautionary announcement. This is also one where you wonder why it's listed. Let me just illustrate. It hasn't traded today. The last trade was 67 cents. The buyers for 2 million shares at 1 cent. I think it's probably one of my traders. And the seller is 50,000 shares at 50 cents. So, I mean, to try and value where the share should be trading, extremely difficult. Market cap, if you take that 67 ruling price, is 98 million rands. It's quite small, but it just doesn't make sense for it to be listed on their own. I mean, it's a very good operation, and you're sort of taking on the institutional broking angle, and they've got some superstars really working there. But from a listing point of view, I'd rather not say. But from a point of being listed, and obviously point of being listed is to raise your profile, to be able to raise capital. But that doesn't seem to be working out. There's just no interest in these counters at the moment.
Second test of the day, Borba Resources Limited trading statement.
I think we had this one last week.
Yeah, we did, actually.
Okay, yeah, thank goodness, because I remembered it. BAU's the code.
That's the one.
It traded at 56 cents, down 3.5%. They gave us a trading statement. I think this is supposed to be the second one. But yeah, market cap of 212 million.
I think it was a cautionary last week for some reason, but anyway, it certainly wasn't. It would have said further trading statement. Okay, test number three, KDAV Group Limited trading statement.
Okay, I think I'm on a roll here.
Well I'm done.
Be wrong. I got it. Yeah, trading statement from them. The share again, not trading today. The previous close was 86 cents.
What does it do?
Got me. I think it's in the hardware business, but I can't be certain.
I think you're thinking of Kmart or something like that, Greg. I'm not sure.
Could be. Seriously, looking for my handbook amongst all the papers on my desk.
That's okay. While you're doing that, I'm going to get the market data, which is obviously a very useful backdrop to what we're going to say about the closing prices on the JSE and the shares that have done well and have done badly. So I'm going to give you now the Rand, which is a stellar performer again. Well done to the Rand. 14.72 against the US dollar. British pound against the Rand, 18.18. Euro Rand, 16.28. And the Euro dollar, 110.60. The dollar weaker by around about a third of a percent. Has that helped the gold price? Well, let's have a look. The gold price, no, it hasn't. In fact, the gold price is down 6, and it's flirting with changing its first two figures from 15 to 14, because it's 1,500 on the nail at the moment, which is a 0.4% fall. The platinum price also under a wee bit of pressure, but not too bad. $3 down to 947.5, and palladium is down 12 to 1567, with the oil price up 1 2/3%, or $1.02 per barrel for Brent crude in London, $63.10. Let's have a look at the overseas stock markets. Let's see what's happening here. Dow Jones is up 78 points or 0.3%, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ around about the same, FTSE down 0.75%. Did you see, Greg, that the Speaker of the House of Commons, who I've always liked, little short fella, John Bercow, he's decided to step down. He'll step down unless there's an election between now and October the 31st. I like him. I think he's quite naughty. And if you wanted to go out with a drink with a couple of people, Boris Johnson and John Bercow would be my top two.
There, you'd have a lovely evening. Yeah, there was an insert on Bloomberg News, just watching in the office here as well. And sort of high praise steeped on him. So it's going to be interesting the way all the cards are starting to fall in place a little bit. It's a little bit, the way forward's a little bit confused with the Brexit. But you get the feeling that Mr. Johnson is an all or nothing kind of guy.
Yeah.
Can I give the KDEV story?
Yeah, what's the KDEV story? What does it do? Is it a hardware shop?
KDEV Group is a trading and a distribution company operating in wood-based panel industry through its outlets in the Western Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, packaging materials and machinery through its outlets in Cape Town and Johannesburg.
So things that you and I don't understand, in other words.
Construction materials is the sector. Number of employees is 520. It's the Browse family, because that's David Browse Trust. Interesting, yeah.
I did go to Builder's Warehouse once because somebody told me to go and buy something, and it was very confusing to me.
It is. You need an expert there. I love walking around the shops and looking at the tools and never really buying anything, but it's just, you just feel so manly looking at them.
The most viewed chairs on the JSE today, Steinhoff, Sasol, Sibanye, and Aspen.
Yeah, let's have a look. I mean, obviously, Steinhoff, I don't think there's any more news there, but you can understand why everyone's watching it. It finished at 111. I'm just going up to sharing the screen.
What interests me is Sibanye, because you're quite you're one of the players in Sibanye, you and Kratos Capital. It's now 17.67 on the close, and it was 21-something last week. Quite a big fall.
It's had a big tumble, but a couple of experts I spoke to Clarence Delgado. I was saying, Clarence, do you think it's time to start jumping back in here? I mean, selling a few today. And he said, just hold on, laddie. Another day or two, these things have run hard. They were due for a pullback. So nervously watching the screens even tonight before I go to bed. The last thing I look at is the price of Sibanye.
Yeah, but the South African gold shares are a very small part of his portfolio. He prefers Barrick. He seems to trade that a lot more, but anyway.
Yes, he's saying he hardly looks at ours anymore. But interesting, we were talking about ETFs, but there is sort of an EZA, like a fund which just has gold shares, and we managed to make it into those. So when they're coming to buy gold shares, they buy all of them, and ours get swept along in the buying, well, hopefully, but certainly swept along in the selling today.
I wonder what Clarence is feeling like now that 1550, because he's the one that called 1550 because he knows that there's a big option structure there. He's the one that knew, and it's had another go at 1550. Well, last week it did anyway. I think it's three times it's tried it, failed, now back to 1500. This is a big test for the gold price. We'll come to that in a moment. Greg, top five major moves to the upside. Sogo Sun up 5.5%, Sappi up 5.1%, Sasol a 3.75% winner. AVI after results this morning, we've spoken about this one, went up to the tune of 3.5%, and Reunert up 3% as well. Sokosan, anything there?
No, I don't see any news. Why it would suddenly be moving like that? I'm just looking if it's, you know, couldn't devil anything. No, nothing there. It sort of went a little bit higher. It sort of went from 1380 to 1399 in the closing auction. So that would explain about 1 or 2% of that move, but still a good effort. Sasol has actually become fascinating because, luckily, I mean, this morning the oil price up a dollar or two, and that's lifted Sasol, but you can't find anyone that's too bullish on Sasol. Some people talking about a possible capital raise at some point. I think always with rights issues, it's always rather too soon and too late. When your share price is already in reverse gear and then you try and raise capital, it makes it a lot more tricky. But on a dull day, nothing too much to pick apart in those moves up.
Yeah, well, this is an easy one. Now on the downside, we've got four of the bottom five stocks all in the gold sector. Harmony down 5.5%, Goldfields down 5.4%, Sibanye down 4.9%, AngloGold Ashanti down 4.8%, and Telkom, which is not a gold stock, but anyway, it's down 3.6%. It's easy. The Rand's strong and the gold price is weak. Not difficult.
Yeah, like David always says, he avoids these gold shares, and this is the exact reason why, because they can turn on you like a rattlesnake in a flash, you know, after probably 3-4 weeks of just going straight up and 20% gains. It keeps on dropping. It's dropped back 5% today in each of those counts, as you mentioned. And when you're asking yourself, what should I do if I'm long Harmony Goldfields, it's not that easy to come up with a strategy off the top of your head. You know, you obviously you speak to clever people in markets, but as you say, gold threatening to break below 1500. As you say, a week ago, we wouldn't even have imagined it was close to 1550. The Rand suddenly getting unbelievable strength from somewhere 1473. And then even the platinum palladium mini bull market that lasted a few days is cooled off, certainly.
But do you remember last week when there was the gold price pushing 1550, but the gold shares didn't react? And we did that old boring story where the gold shares lead the gold price. And it's worked out beautifully because the gold price has fallen $50. Gold shares were a precursor to the gold price coming down.
Lead the price. Someone was showing me that buys a lot of physical gold, was actually showing me in December some contracts and how he goes about it. And so he'll instruct his bank to buy him. Look, obviously, private client level, so it's not as big, but pops the banks do it the same way. Buy me a tranche every day, and the say gold price is 1550 or 1500, and they say to him, he'll buy for me every day until it gets to 1550, then stop. So to try and get a smoothed out average, but that 1550 could have actually had the reverse effect, and a lot of those long term sort of nibbling along buy orders were then put on hold for the time being, and the gold price is busy resetting itself.
When I worked as a callow youth, as a youngster in London, Greg, cutting my teeth in the financial services markets, there was something called the gold fix, the morning gold fix and the afternoon gold fix. I don't know if it still occurs, but you would sometimes, the gold fix would be a meeting of the buyers and the sellers, and sometimes it would be done in 10 seconds. In other words, you know, there's only 10 tons to do or 10,000 ounces to do at $1,500 an ounce. But sometimes people would go into the gold fix in order to do massive, massive amounts, and it would go on for 45 minutes or so. I just wonder if the gold fix is a thing these days. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, I wonder. Look, we'll ask Clarence next time we get him on the show.
Greg, give us the JSE closing indexes, please. Indices.
Come back to my dish. Right. The banks down 0.19. Financials up 0.17. So mixed bag there. Industrials up 1%. Retailers up 0.5%. Gold index clattered down just over 5%. Mm. Platinum's down 0.75%. Resources down 0.34. That left the all share down 0.12, 68 points lighter at 55,523. Value of trade today is 16.76 billion.
Not too bad. David Shapiro was bemoaning the fact that at around about 4:15, it was only 12 billion, but obviously that auction thing has boosted the trade. And the end of the week, Greg, when Prosus has split.
Prosper.
When Prosus.
Process, correct.
Yeah, we can see the prosperous process later on in the week. We'll see exactly what happens to the JSE Securities Exchange's volume. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital for some reason, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. He'll be back tomorrow morning with the opening.
That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.